fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Katar. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice.
Fear is a choice, and when we belong to Christ, when we belong to Him, we need not choose fear, and we shouldn't. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You once again, and we're grateful to be in this place. Lord, we pray during these moments that You would remove all distractions. Lord, that You would speak clearly to our hearts, to our minds, God, and that You would bring freedom in this place in Your name. We pray and ask all this, Jesus. Amen. And so you may be asking, what's going on? What is this with fear? If you were here last week, you'll know that we're in a series, a three-part series called The Fear Fight, as you'll see on the slide behind me. And the purpose of this series is to say that we recognize that fear is an issue even within the church, and that fear is dangerous and hurtful, often leading to a great deal of sin and pain. And last week, our very own Brian Charette gave us the first week's message, and he presented to us that studies have shown that we live in a culture of fear, and that the current generation has been noted as the generation of fear. And while Scripture exhorts us over and over, do not be afraid, we still find an overwhelming amount of fear within the church. And by church, I mean the people who belong to God. And so the first week, Brian gave us this picture that we are living in the generation of fear. And next week, if you're visiting with us today, I'm Pastor Billy, our lead vision pastor, Pastor Carey, who has been up here. We'll be bringing the final part of the series next week, and you won't want to miss that. But last week, our time concluded with one of our own, Kevin Griffin, closing the panel portion. I'll have a panel joining me here in a moment to get into this discussion, but he concluded the first week's panel by reminding us that for the instances in which God says in Scripture, "Do not fear," it is almost always followed with, "For I am with you." And so we concluded the panel portion with that piece, and it brings us to today's discussion in the fear fight, and that is the battle between choosing to live by fear, choosing to live our lives by fear, or choosing to live truly by faith in Jesus Christ. Because when we choose fear, when we choose fear, we are saying that we are convinced that God is not wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that God is not wholly trustworthy in our lives. When we choose our fear over our faith, we say God is not wholly trustworthy in our lives. And this is often in spite of times that we could look back and find Him very faithful in our past. For you see, fear is not the absence of faith. Right? Today we're talking about living in fear or living in faith, but fear is not the absence of faith, but fear is putting our faith in the enemy. Fear is not the absence of faith, but it's faith in the enemy. And so do you fear possibly the rejection of people? Do you fear the attacks of Satan? Do you fear the unknown of the future? Do you fear trials and tribulations? Do you fear the political state of the country? Do you fear what others will say about you? Do you fear your children growing up in the world today? For as we saw in the video, fear lives in the future, in the what ifs. Do you fear any of those things? What do you fear? Because God's word gives us the antidote to fear, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If you'll take a look at the slide here, there's some scripture references. There it is. And I'm going to read some of these quickly. You can make note of these for a future reference if you would like. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3 and verse 6. "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God." because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. 1 Peter 5, verses 7 and 8, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we, those who are in Christ, say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? So who's winning the battle in your life?
I'm faced with what seems to be ordinary decisions. These ordinary decisions can seem so small in the grand scheme of things, but his choices today can ultimately change his entire future and the future of everyone he loves. Will today be the day he chooses to follow God, or will he continue to follow his fear? Will today be the day that he chooses to stand up for someone who cannot stand up for themselves? To give up the extra in his life for someone who doesn't have enough? To break the addictions that have held him captive for years? To invest in his kids instead of his job? To trust in God instead of his money, his career, his habits? You see, fear is winning in Norman's life. He wants to do the amazing, the incredible, but he is terrified of the unknown, terrified of losing control. This fear is paralyzing, and Norman cannot move. He cannot move into action and take chances. His fear makes him settle for what is second rate. Just like Norman, you too have a decision to make. Which one will you let win in your life? Your fear or your faith?
So, my panel has joined me here on stage, and aren't they all beautiful? All three of them? So, we're going to start off this morning. I'd like you to tell us your name, your credit card number, something of that sort. No, I'm just kidding. No, please, we'll go down the line, tell us your name, and then the first question here is thinking about your experience with fear. And so the panels represent you. They represent us. We have the panels on stage so that you can find yourself in the message. You can find yourself in this fear fight. And so they represent all of us today. And so as we go down the line, just tell us your name and thinking about your experience with fear. How has fear attacked you in your life, and how have you dealt with it in those times? We'll start right here.
My name is Ben Luna. I'd have to say that fear has attacked me most through things that I don't know, the things that are outside of my control. So a lot of that has to do with the future. A lot of that has to do with school. And I don't know, I was in high school in 2008. In college, as we were coming up out of the recession, and I was a music education major, so employment was always right there in the front of my mind as a source of anxiety, because it's difficult in my field to get a job, especially as a first year. I met a florist once who told me he was a music major. That was not encouraging. And so I think those unknowns, the things that I'm invested in that I can't control, have really brought me a lot of anxiety.
My name is Emily Lucas, and I would have to say that fear has definitely been a part of my life. When I was 20 years old, about 8 years ago, I found out that I had an autoimmune disease that was debilitating. And so being told that this is as good as it's going to get, we're just going to control the pain, but you're going to have rheumatoid arthritis forever, was very paralyzing. It was very scary, especially at 20, and thinking, okay, well, how am I going to feel when I'm, you know, 50 years old? So that's definitely been a source of fear in my life, and the enemy has been very tactful at using that to affect how I feel about my future, how it's going to be in the future, or how it makes me feel now, and he's used it to isolate me and things like that. So I would definitely say for myself, as Ben said, the future is a big source of fear at times when I let it get the best of me. So,
my name is Olivia Michael, and when I was thinking about what I was going to share for this question, I really had a hard time because it's like, do I be completely vulnerable or do I just say, you know, the classic answer, you know? So I'm just going to go for it. So fear has really it's crippled my faith a lot, like growing up, especially in high school. I struggled with the fear of the unknown, things I didn't understand. And as you all probably know, faith is a really big unknown. You know, I see things very black and white and very practical, and that's just how my mind works. And faith is like a totally gray area. And so it was really hard for me to, I guess, be all in or be completely trustworthy of something that I didn't fully understand. And so I didn't really deal with that until college. So yeah, I would just say that fear has always really attacked me in the place that matters most, which is my faith. So.
And in these experiences, because fear is often weld its head up and the enemy says no way. How have you learned to deal with these times when fear seems to rise up in the face of your faith? How have you learned to deal with this? We'll start back down here with Olivia.
I guess for me specifically, my sophomore year of college, I'm a religion major, so that's really great. And I got to a point in my classes and in my faith where I literally said to, like, one, I remember on the phone with my mom, like, Mom, I don't know, like, what I believe. Like, I don't know. I'm so fearful of committing to this. Like, what do I do? And I had to come to a place where I had to either decide that I was going to let my fear become greater than my faith or if I was going to choose to have faith. And so that's kind of how I dealt with it. I just, for me, I realized that faith wasn't always easy or happy or a feeling, and I had to start with saying, okay, I'm going to choose to have faith today. And through that, I feel like God has really revealed himself to me in the details, and I've lost a lot of that fear.
So. Very nice. Molly?
For me, I think just using fear in a way to strengthen my faith, because honestly, there's lots of fearful trials and things. And so being able to say, I did go through that. It was very hard. It was dark. But using that to strengthen your faith, because I think so many times we just want everything to be smooth and easy. And if we did that, then faith wouldn't be very valuable. And so just being able to say, it was hard, but I came out and I trusted God. And in the end, the fear was worth it because my faith is so much stronger because of it.
That's good.
I would have to say that for me, the people around me, especially my family, so we're very close. They were some of the only things that were ever consistent in my childhood because we moved around a lot. I'd say the people around me are kind of the crux of my ability to deal with fear, or have been. And that becomes interesting because about my junior year of college, a lot of the influences around me really started to manifest, the negative influences. There is no godless place. You know, we learned that in Jonah. But being a music major is hard because the arts aren't a place that at a public, you know, state school, Christians really flock to. And so I was able to surround myself with people who did not believe what I was raised to believe and were not influencing me well. And my junior year, I had really made the decision to kind of move away from my family, be independent like a good, you know, 20-year-old should, you know, living on my own and whatnot. And that moment, as a young man who had not learned yet how to practice his own faith in reality, aside from just being stubborn, to actively seek out God on his own. That moment was what, and I'm actually just realizing this now, so thank you, was what really started kind of an era of anxiety in my own life. And I'm talking like clinical anxiety, not just the sort that we all live in, because these are scary times. And so overcoming that meant, for me, going back to my family, being around them more, figuring out who I was. But recently, as of 2 days ago, God has been teaching me to make that step on my own. And that has been by really figuring out what it is that I'm invested in. That has been the foremost thought in my head for the past 2 days, is what am I worshiping? What do I value more than God? What am I concerned about more than God? And really honing in on those things and struggling through the process of giving them up, saying, my school doesn't matter to me as much as God does. My career doesn't matter to me as much as my relationship with Christ. My finances don't matter to me more than my salvation and my ability to witness to God's people and to the world.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Yes. Thank you. Life together matters. Amen. Second question here, and all of us would ask this question because we're all sitting here. We all have some knowledge of the scriptures and of what God says. And if the word of God exhorts us, do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. I will supply your needs. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then what seems to be our biggest mistake as believers when we face fear? Emily, you want to start with this one?
Well, I feel like I make a lot of mistakes, so I can't really pick one. But if I had to, I guess I would say, for me personally, it's staying in constant connection with God. It's those times when I feel like I'm getting lost in the busyness or working too much or whatever, that I'm not in the Bible, I'm not reading his word and his truths, and so I buy into the lies that the enemy sneaks into our thoughts, and I'm not as guarded, I guess. And so when I'm not in prayer and really spending that quality time with God, I'm not building up my defenses. And it really is a battle. It really does feel like a battle. And so I think just making sure that I'm constantly connected and reading and just talking with God throughout the day. I often struggle with the prayer that you just take, you know, certain times throughout the day, because I've literally been in constant prayer all day long. Like, it's just a constant conversation. And I don't know if that's just me, but it's worked for me. And it really does, it makes it a lot easier to be guarded against the enemy and his lies. It does.
Olivia?
I think that as believers, we're called to take the back seat in our lives while God sits in the front and kind of steers the way for us. And I also think that as humans, we really like to be in control. And I think that's where we make our biggest mistakes. When we have these fears and anxieties, it's so easy to just make a plan and decide how we're going to fix them and how we're going to solve our problems. But we don't just first give them to God. And I think that as believers, that's where we make the biggest mistake, and that's where we see the most trials, is instead of just giving our fears and our burdens to the Lord, we take them on ourselves and try to solve them ourselves.
I am learning that, or to the degree that the devil is a master of sleight of hand and distraction and moving our focus from what is right in front of us, the obvious truth, to our circumstances. And I really agree with what Emily said, that one of the biggest ways to fight that is just by starting to seek God in the Word and, opening that opportunity, saying every day, Lord, teach me something. I really struggle with focus, God. I really struggle with seeking your face and seeking you, desiring you, so help me. And I think that, I think about it like playing piano. I really struggle with playing piano. I'm only really allowed to play it in public if it's in the key of C, which involves no black keys, so I can focus on the white ones. Because there's so much focus that's required to use all 10 fingers in these really intricate ways. And I found that if I'm going to play piano, I need to muscle through every single moment for hours and hours and hours until it just becomes muscle memory. And I think that I'm in that process right now of reading the Bible every day, making that the first thing that I do every morning, sitting down and going through scripture and writing out my prayers so that my mind doesn't just like completely evaporate into, you know, whatever little rabbit hole it goes down. And just trusting that God is going to take that sacrifice of time spent seeking Him for Him and turn that into a habit, into just a state of being.
Thank you. So one final question, final thought here, as another takeaway that we could take away with us today if they're taking notes. And we've discussed a few, but if we'll go down the line here, and what is one way that you've learned to practice faith that you want to encourage the rest of us with us today? Like, what is one way you've learned to practice faith? Because we're talking about living by faith or living by fear. So what's one way you've learned to practice your faith in Christ that you want to encourage everyone with today? We'll start with Olivia.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here. Like I said earlier, when I really started to become all in, I started to really trust God. I really had to make that a choice. So I don't know if that's encouraging, but I think that's a good place to start when you're deciding faith over fear, is that sometimes faith just has to be a choice, and that's okay. It's not always a feeling. It's not always easy or happy, but sometimes it's just a choice we have to make, and we have to trust that God's going to reveal Himself in the details and in the process, and that's just kind of where I'm at right now. So.
Emily?
I would say that for me, it's been all about just kind of owning my own story. It's really easy to look at other people, I feel like, and say, oh, well, they seem like they have it all together. It's a lot easier for them. But I think things really changed for me when I said, this is who I am. This is the journey that God has given me, and I'm just going to make the most of it. And there's going to be trials. There's going to be hard times. But just trusting that God knows what's best for me more than what I think is best for me has really been a key thing. And so just trusting and saying, God, I know that whatever I'm going to encounter, that you're going to be there for me. And trying to use every part of your journey, the fear, the faith, the ugly stuff, the good stuff, all for His glory, whatever that means, because you don't know who else may be in a very similar journey, and you have no idea. So,
Ben?
I would have to say that for me, it's been the process of doing something that in Celebrate Recovery we've been talking about, the importance of taking an inventory of your life and sitting down and opening up yourself up to the Holy Spirit and saying, God, what is it that you're doing in my life, and how have I been getting in the way? What are the things that I struggle with? How have I hurt myself and others? And not just negatively, but I think that being aware of that, especially Friday morning, just a little bit of testifying, I was really struggling to continue with my day at all, to do any sort of thing, because this is a pretty nasty season in my life, and it occurred to me that there were things that were very much more important to me than God, and it was in surrendering those things to Him. I don't know if you've ever woken up in the morning with a dry throat. I'm a vocalist, so I think about these things. And there's just this dry spot that you can't get at. You're coughing, you're trying to like swallow, but nothing doing. And it's going and getting that first glass of water and drinking it. And you feel like, oh, this is how speaking works. This is how breathing works. This is what normal feels like. That has been my life for the past 2 days. My entire being has been changed. And it's praying in every single moment, recognizing these are the things that I'm going to struggle with Monday. Because on Sunday, I looked at the devil and I said, I know who my friend is. I know to whom I belong. You can't have me. And I know that he's going to come and get me, and I know that he's going to try and trip me up, and I know that it's going to be through these things. And so when they come and when they have come, just sitting in that moment and saying, Lord, I know the conversation we had, and I know the promises that you've made, and just being really diligent and stubborn about that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you again. Can we give them a hand, please? Thank you for your vulnerability and your willingness to join the discussion. A few final thoughts here. And I love things I can easily apply to memory, and I love the truth found in these acrostics on this slide here. One is a popular one, and the other the Lord gave me through the inspiration of my wife. But this is what we're talking about today, fear versus faith. And when we take the word fear here, we see that it is false evidence appearing real. That fear in our lives is most often, every time, false evidence appearing real versus faith. And when we put our faith fully, when we put our whole trust in Jesus Christ and have surrendered those things, we have freedom after I trust in Him. And so if you want to make a note, maybe that'll help you. But we also find these to be true in this story found in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. And it says this: that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, Jesus speaking. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. There's a furious storm. Waves are smashing the boat, over the boat, into the boat. Jesus is in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And so Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? For you see, in this moment, the false evidence to the disciples, the wind and the waves had convinced them that although that Jesus is in their boat, that Jesus is in their boat resting peacefully, that in this moment, death seemed real and the Lord did not seem to care. Have we not found ourselves asking the same question in the face of fear? I have. God, do you not care? God, are you there? All the while, Jesus is in the same boat, resting peacefully. And what I've come to learn in my life is that when you and I are in the will of God, when we are living in the will of God, then you can know in the midst of the storms and the fear that Jesus has me here. When we're living in the will of God, in the midst of the storms and the fear, you can know that Jesus has me here. Because the wind and the waves, they're out of our control. They're out of my control. They're out of your control. And so we look to Jesus. And what a nap this guy was taking. What a nap. I mean, wow. I'd love to have one of those with a seven-month-old right now. But we look to Jesus and we see a profound faith that he had in the Father's care. The boat, the stern, that's not keeping him safe from the storm, but it is the powerful hands of his heavenly Father. I'm going to ask Haley to come to the stage and prepare as we prepare to close this time of the morning. And when Haley plays here shortly, I'll ask that that'll be our time of response. You can stand and worship. You can kneel and pray, however the Lord leads. But I had one final thought when thinking about this fear versus faith. And I remember as a child, and some of you might remember this vividly, especially if you have children, but you might remember it as a child as well. I remember as a child, my parents would hold me close after waking from a nightmare in the middle of the night. And they would hold me close and say, shh, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. You're safe. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear. And in that moment, I felt it. And they would lay me back down, and when they would leave the room again, it seemed like the darkness would begin to cover me again like a blanket. For you see, they were grown up. They couldn't see the monsters anymore. They were grown up. And so I would lay in bed, terrified. I would lay in bed terrified of my thoughts and the monsters that I knew were coming for me. I knew it. And I wish we could say that we outgrow the fear of these monsters. But often we lay in bed at night, still grown up, terrified of rejection, of failure, of financial pressure, of something happening to someone in our family. And as I read God's word, as we've looked at his word, as I read it for comfort, it's as if I can hear God saying the same thing as my mom and dad did growing up, and that I'll tell my daughter one day, shh, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. You're safe. You have nothing to fear. But you see, often there's another voice. Often there's another voice, a much darker voice that says, what does he know? He's God. He can't feel fear. He can't see the monsters. And in that moment, I have a choice to make. Which voice will I listen to? Which voice will I trust? So, which one will you let win in your life? Your fear or your faith?
Let's applaud our panel again. If you missed last week's service, as I did, I encourage you to go to abeaconofhope.org and click on listen and listen to the message last week as well. Just two wonderful weeks of testimony and dialogue and the word shared very, very practically, but very powerfully. And I'm humbled. I don't know about you, but I have less fear about future generations after watching this panel up on the platform. If you believe that, would you applaud that? Thank you. It just blesses my heart, blesses me big time. We want to let you know that today online you can begin to register, if you're not already in a life group, to register for life groups for the upcoming winter session. Don't do life alone. I'll just give you that inspiration, not intimidation. Inspiration. Next week, there'll be a table in the lobby if you'd like to sign up just face-to-face. But today, online, you can go ahead. And if you're not part of a life group, if you already are and haven't told us otherwise, you'll continue in the life group that you're in for the winter session. But Pastor Adrian has all the answers to all your questions on that. So we just want to make sure that you're aware of it. Also, today we want to take just a moment. Last week we had the mission tables in the foyer. If you were here, you remember that. And today, I don't know if you know, but it's Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany was the 6th of January, and this is kind of like the final day or the afterglow of Christmas. It's the day we remember the wise men, the magi, coming from the east to Bethlehem. They were running a little late. They probably didn't have a woman with them to get directions. That's just my opinion. But the idea is they did arrive, and we started taking the decorations down at our house, but the Epiphany stuff is still up. And Pam and Sheldon Whitmore gave me this snow globe for Christmas. I've never seen an Epiphany snow globe. It's just Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and the three wise men. And it just sits there by my chair and reminds me that Christmas is still underway. It's Epiphany. That's what today is. And we want to give the last gifts of Christmas. And last week we said that if you came to all the tables, which I know was difficult, and that was the idea, and you had your passport stamped, that we'd have the last gifts of Christmas for you today. So I'm just going to draw the names. And if you happen to be in the service, you don't have to be present to win. We'll make sure that the people get it. But I'm just going to put a name under each gift. This name is Ann Spielman. There she is, right there. She'll get that gift. She can take her passport with her. Also, this is Rachel Leatherman. So Rachel is going to get some coffee from Guatemala, looks like. And you can trade gifts, you know, if you would like to. Or if somebody's not here, just move your slip on top of the one, you know, that you want. This one is Ghislaine Martinez Campa. And I'm going to put that on top of the book. And then we have Anna Campa. Well, the family's doing really good. And then we have Lois Wetzel on top of the Panera card. And then we have Chuck Bowles. He's going to get a T-shirt, looks like. And then finally, Betty Rhodes. She's going to get that T-shirt right there. So those are the first service gifts. We'll save these for the second service. So I'm into applauding these days. Let's applaud the last gifts of Christmas. Yeah. Okay. If you would stand now, we would like to share a time of benediction with you. And last week, Pastor Margaret, I heard online, she shared the benediction. And the idea is it's not just words so you can leave and go have lunch, which that's good. I mean, I'm all for parting words. But this is what you receive into your life, these words. It's really a gift at the end of every service. Sometimes when it's time for the benediction, we just sort of tune out and say, we're done, the message has been. But we forget that there's one more gift that we can receive. It's the last gift of worship every Sunday. Is the benediction. And so I would like for you to just close your eyes and just open your heart for a moment. And I'd like to pray this last prayer, this benediction, on this Epiphany Sunday over you. Lord Jesus, today I pray that we will be drawn to where you are. I pray that we will know that the gift of Christmas is still underway. I pray that you will give to us your perfect love that will cancel out all torment and fear. Lord, we received a beautiful message today. But right now, Lord, we want you to know that we're getting ready to go out there in the real world. And we're asking that we will have the power of your presence within us. Not only that we would overcome our own fears, but we would help others to get their eyes focused on the one who can help them overcome theirs. Lord, I pray into next Saturday morning, 8:30. I think that if we would take that as an afterglow, this Discover 301, that we would truly light our world. And when we walk into the lives of others, we will bring the gift of love. And the people said, amen. Go in peace. Go in deep peace.